I wouldn't say we are live because we are recording from the studio today. But hi everyone, this is another episode of On.net. And today I'm with Omer in the studio. You're here for Build?
Yes, I am. Great to be here.
So did you watch were you at the keynote this morning?
I tried to be, but I ended up just watching it from my laptop.
Oh, I see. Yeah, those things happen. So yeah. Okay, did you like it?
Yeah, really exciting stuff.
Yeah,
good build.
What's your favorite part?
Well, my favorite part is just standing at the Ozcode booth and yelling at people about my demos, because we get so many people around the booth, like 20 or 30 people, and I just yell them, and here in the where clause, you can see that, because they are standing so far away. So I do that for 3 days, and I come back home with a sore throat, but a very, very happy
I see. Experience. Yeah, well, conferences are for meeting people, right?
That's true.
All right. So today we are going to talk about the tool that you're building. So tell us about this. What is it doing?
Okay. So I am the creator of Ozcode. And Ozcode is a Visual Studio extension that makes debugging C# code a whole lot more productive and more fun and more efficient, so that you spend less time in the debugger and you have more time for the fun parts of being a software developer, like refactoring, writing new features, drinking coffee, all the good stuff.
Yeah, excellent. All right. And you have presentations and demos, so...
Yes, I do. Maybe I could tell you a little bit first about, like, sort of my personal journey, like, how did I come up with this tool? Mm-hmm. So basically, my very first job as a software developer, I was working on CT scanning, so I was working in medical imaging on the software that actually runs the CT scanner. Mm-hmm. And this was my very first job as a software engineer, and I remember just being very frightened. I had debugging all these really hard problems that had to do with the 3D box object that represent sort of the space in the patient's body that we're going to be scanning. Mm-hmm. And I also had to flip it like this, flip it the other way, all these coordinate systems. And every few months, they used to take us out to the hospital to actually see how our software is being used. And man, I was so scared. I was just sitting there in my chair, like very, very frightened and looking at the computer screen and thinking to myself, well, I really hope this thing doesn't crash, because if it does and they have to deliver a double dosage of radiation to that patient, they're probably going to want a better answer than just not reference was not set to an instance of a variable. So I was very afraid. And at that period, I sort of came to this conclusion that the real challenge in debugging is equal parts intellectual and psychological, because I found myself just going into this zombie mode inside of Visual Studio, where I hit F10, 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 and I'm sort of staring at the computer screen, not really know what I'm doing. And I started to realize that I need better tools. I need better tools to be effective at debugging, because I think most developers sort of understand, like, intuitively that in order to be successful at debugging, you need to be like very rigorous, very methodical. I call it applying the scientific method religiously. Like, if you make sure that by the time your finger goes to the F5 button, you already have a hypothesis in your head, what it is you're trying to prove or disprove, what your theory is of why the code is not working the way you expect it to do, then you'll be totally successful and you'll do a great job at debugging. But because we spend so much time debugging and we try to solve the same problem for an hour and then another hour and then another hour, we sort of brush up against just how we as humans deal with failure, and we become very... That's when we enter that zombie mode where we're just hitting F10 and have no idea what the hell we're doing. So the thought behind Ozcode is that I wanted to create tools that basically reduce the time to aha factor, that time from where I see that it's not working to that epiphany moment where I totally understand, like, the root cause of the bug. Because what I found myself doing a lot of the time when my first job is that I wasn't really solving the bug. I wasn't really solving the root cause of the bug. I was just fixing some tiny symptom of it, some manifestation of the bug, putting a little Band-Aid on it, and then sending that the ticket is done, I fixed it. And that's why where Ozcode comes in is it's a tool that sort of sheds more light on what is happening in your program when you're debugging and shows you what's happening so that you can understand what the real execution of your code. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Cool. So that's basically the premise of Ozcode. And I guess we could jump into a bunch of demos and sort of see how things work. So I'm going to start by just showing you how I step through some code here. And you'll notice all these different annotations on top of my code editor. So here, the first thing you'll notice is that when I hover over some variable, I get the Ozcode window instead of the normal Visual Studio window. And this is a lot more powerful. So one example is that I'm looking at this list of customers, but nobody bothered to implement toString on the customer class. So what I can do here is I can just open this up and select the fields and properties that I actually care about. Like I'll select the full name and the ID, and you see how they bubble up to the top here. And basically what I've done is I've told Ozcode from this moment on, whenever I see a customer object,
that's the info I want to,
exactly,
to see.
Okay, make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Now I can even go one step further and let's say every customer has an address and every address has a zip code, and I really want to see the zip code for each one of these customers, so I can just go ahead and select the zip code inside the address, select the address inside the customer, and now I can see all the values, all the zip codes, so I can see the nested properties as
That's really nice.
Thank you. Another thing I can do is just do a search. So this is another thing that I kept wanting, is just I have some Michael object. I don't want to sift through the entire large collection, so I just type in search for Michael, boop, it searched through the entire collection very, very fast, found that one object that I'm looking for, and I can see all the rest of the fields and the properties of that one object. So that's searching.
Oh, yeah. Well, that zombie mode that you were talking about before, it's not just about hitting F10. It's also about drilling into a deep object graph and finding the information
that you want.
Yeah, that's very useful.
Cool. Thank you. So the next thing that we added, again, to sort of take you out of that zombie mode, is this idea of a heads-up display for the debugger. So here, for example, you see that this adornment is showing me what the current value of the for each loop is, and it's showing me full name and ID, because those are the things that we just said are important.
Right. Yeah.
And the next thing you see here is that I have this predictive analysis. So Ozcode is telling me, okay, I'm going to be stepping into this switch statement. Ozcode is already smart enough to tell me we're going to go here to this case clause. And so it's de-emphasizing the relevant code for me, the dead code path. And that's just a nice little helper to sift my eyes to where they should go, where the code is actually executing. Now, where this is really useful is, in my opinion, is the Boolean logic. So let's say I have a huge if statement like this one, and I want to know, okay, why did this if statement return true?
Yeah.
Now, if I don't have Ozcode, usually what I do is I take each one of these guys and put it into the watch or the quick watch window and say, okay, this is false. Let's go look at the other one, also false. I sort of do all the Boolean logic in my head. With Ozcode, I don't need to do any of that. I can just look at the colors, right?
Oh, come on. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Ozcode is telling me this entire if statement is true. That's what the green V here signifies. And we're going to go here and not go to the else clause. And the reason is because the first three sub-expressions were false, and the last one is true. And if I want to, I can just drill in here and see all the different parts of the expression, see why each one returned either true or false. That makes sense?
No. Can you explain exactly what this is doing?
So, for example, here, it's showing me, okay, this customer.cc type returned Visa, and we're comparing to Visa. That's why this is true.
Okay.
If I go up one, I can see that here, the get yearly earnings method returned this
number. Oh, you're drilling into the reasons why they are true or false.
Yes, exactly. So
okay,
here,
yeah,
this
makes
number
sense.
Is not larger than that number, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so far
sure.
So good?
Yeah.
Now, the reason this is really useful is because it works really well with edit and continue. So in Visual Studio 2015, actually, in my opinion, sort of my favorite feature in Visual Studio 2015 is just the way improved edit and continue experience. So in previous versions of Visual Studio, we had these problems where if you used an async method or had any sort of lambda expression in your method, edit and continue just sort of broke down. In the new Visual Studio, as part of the Roslyn project, Microsoft pretty much rewrote edit and continue from scratch, and now it usually just works wonderfully. And Ozcode adds this experience of live coding on top. So here's an example. I have this if statement where this is actually, I expected this to be true, but for some reason it's returning false. And Ozcode is showing me the first part is false, and the second part won't even be evaluated because we have an and operator over here. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to fix this. I already see that I have a stupid little spelling mistake here in the word MasterCard. So I'll just fix that real quick. And as soon as I lift my fingers off the keyboard, it instantly updates, right? Yeah. And here I actually meant this to be a not equal to null instead of an equal to null. Boom, fix that as well. Okay?
Wow.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So this live coding experience sort of gives me the live feedback that I need in order to fix problems. Or if I go here, let's go ahead and change the value of address to null, because that's another very useful thing you could do when you're debugging, changing the values of variables just to experiment.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm doing it here is just to show you what Ozcode does when I have an all-reference exception that's about to happen. So it's predicting that the next thing that's going to happen is that this is going to throw an all-reference exception. It's highlighting in red the thing that's null. Now I can either just add a simple null check here, so I can say this guy is not null and and now I don't have an all-reference exception anymore. Or I could use the new fancy schmancy C# version 6 Elvis operator, and Ozcode tells me, okay, this is null, this won't be evaluated, null in Chicago is not the same thing, that's why we don't have...
Why are we calling this the Elvis operator?
You squint and look sideways, it totally looks like Elvis. I totally see it.
I thought I knew why it's called the Elvis operator, but apparently I didn't.
Well,
interesting.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Well, so there's a bunch of magic here that's happening that's really interesting. So you're seeing that Ozcode is doing a lot of work behind the scenes to evaluate all these expressions and all these method calls, but that's actually something that's really important to realize, is that Ozcode is protecting you from having any real side effects. So one of the things that happens when you're a newbie developer and you find out that you can type in method calls into the watch window is that you start going crazy and you start evaluating all these things. And you don't always realize as a newbie developer that when you call methods inside of the watch window or the immediate window,
you're actually doing it for real.
Yeah, those things actually happen, and then we get into the whole physics thing where, you know, the act of observing the program actually changes the program, and that's where we get totally confused and lose our heads. So Ozcode,
wait until we have quantum computers.
Yes, that would be even. Yeah, that would be interesting. So Ozcode has this really interesting thing where it uses crazy voodoo magic IL emulation techniques to sort of protect you from that.
Really?
Yes. So all this predictive analysis that I just showed you works on this insane magic, and I'm going to do a magic trick
now. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Because if Ozcode...
You would have to do that, yeah.
Yes, because if Ozcode was just evaluating all these expressions just to give you a nice visualization, that would be actually pretty horrible, right? Mm-hmm. You would be corrupting the state of your debuggy process just to show you a nice visualization. Mm-hmm. So let me show you a little crazy magic trick. So I'm going to type out this tiny program to just print out the alphabet. So I'm going to say static char letter equals A. And I'm going to have a tiny method here that just gives me the next letter. Okay? Mm-hmm. Letter plus plus. And down here on main, I'll just say string the alphabet. Oops, is the alphabet. And then I'm going to do next plus next. And you might be expecting this, but I'll do next one more time. And now I'm going to run this. And now what's going to happen is that Ozcode is essentially running a predictive analysis. It's pre-compiling this statement. And it's telling me this is going to return the alphabet is ABC. Okay? But if I go and hover over a letter, I see that it's still A. And if I hover over the alphabet, it's still null. So Ozcode is not actually running the next method. because that would have side effects, which would be pretty horrible. It's just emulating what would happen. And what's really cool about this is now the yellow line of the debugger, where the instruction pointer is, sort of becomes like a ripple that I can play around with. Now, let's say I want to add D and E into this party here. I just go ahead and do that, and voila. Okay, so I see that Ozcode auto updates the expression, so I have this live coding experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So just to give you the final appeal of this wonderful sort of heads-up display thingy is that, you know how sometimes you have this experience where you step, you step, you step, you step, you step, you step, and you step all the way down to the bottom of the method, and then you're like, oh damn, I stepped one too many times, now I have to rerun the entire program just to get back to where I was. Have you ever had that experience?
Oh yeah, many times.
So with Ozcode, you don't have to have that experience anymore. You can just click this button that says view historical results. And basically what that does is it goes back and show me what happened in previous steps. So it basically shows me the history of what happened.
So doesn't Visual Studio have a similar feature nowadays?
Well, you have IntelliTrace, but IntelliTrace doesn't quite visualize everything that's happened in the same manner. It just allows you to go back to previous steps and sort of look at what the local values were at that point in time. But Ozcode will actually visualize all the different... I think sort of the key point here is that Ozcode is on one hand using the capabilities of the Visual Studio Debugger. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it's using Roslyn to statically analyze your code. And together, it's creating these visualizations that can show you, okay, these are the out parameters, this is what this method returned, et cetera, et cetera. And I can go here and say, okay, show me the values everywhere. And then I can see, okay, one line of summary above each line of code. And that can help a lot in just when you're debugging very complicated code. I like to leave this on and just, you know, step through and have it show me one more line of summary above each line of code as I step.
So you're basically overlaying the flow of data over the flow of the program itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the cool thing about the fact that we're using Roslyn is, of course, that we get upgraded to be able to fairly easily support new syntax in the C# language. So now, and that's actually becomes a really helpful learning tools for people. Because, for example, if I go and I show you some C# 7 features. So I'm going to go here. Let's talk about, for instance, pattern matching. So in C# 7, I can now do pattern matching. So I can say, instead of having to cast a variable and then check whether it's null or not, mm-hmm. know if it's a given type, I can just do a pattern where I define a new variable and then do a condition on that variable that I just defined inline in that same clause. And Ozcode knows all the syntax, so it's telling me, okay, here the shape is actually a circle, not a rectangle, sure this is false, and this wasn't evaluated. And again, I have that live coding experience, so I can say, shape is actually circle C, and C dot radius is larger than 2. Boom, updates. Larger than 7? No. Okay, so I can play around with this and see what everything does. And like I showed you before, it also works with the switch expression. So I can look and see, okay, here I have a switch statement. I'm switching on shapes. I'm going to start the height and the length of the shape. And we see that the first clause is when the length is equal to height, then we say it's a square. And Ozcode shows me what the when condition returns, so I can actually understand how the pattern matching is working here. I hit F5 again. Now I have another rectangle, but here the height is not the same as the length. So this when condition was returned false, and then we went into the other pattern right here. So I can go and see which pattern I'm going to, and I can play around with this and understand the new C# syntax much, much easier. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Cool. Same thing with tuple. So all this new F# goodness that we're now getting into C#. So we have things like tuple deconstruction. Ozcode knows that this method is returning a tuple that has a name and an age. And it's showing me, okay, you're doing tuple deconstruction, this is the name, this is the age. It sort of highlights everything that's happening in the debugger as I step on through.
Nice.
Makes sense?
Yep.
Cool. So I'll show you a couple more interesting things And then to wrap up, I'll show you the new link debugging stuff, which is what everybody wants to hear about. So before we do that, I'll show you, for example, comparing. So another very cool, simple feature is that I can sometimes want to compare different objects and collections in memory. So here I have some phone book objects, so it's, and I'm serializing it into a memory stream and then deserializing it back out. And when I get it back out after deserialization, I see that something's wrong with it. Osgood tells me that this phone book is not the same as the one we originally serialized. And now I want to know, okay, so what the heck is the difference? So what I can do here is just go to this button, says compare this, and I can actually compare objects and collections. So it's highlighting the phone book because it will allow me to compare anything that is either of the same type or derives from the same type. Mm-hmm. So I add the phone book into this party, hit compare, and voila, it will actually compare the two objects side by side, like a diff viewer. So I see that the original phone book had an age, but the loaded phone book, the one we just deserialized, the ages are all zero. So I understand that I probably just forgot to serialize the age property. By the way, another nice thing here is that if I'm comparing two strings, which are very large, like XML or JSON documents, I can click this button, and this will open up my favorite diff viewer. So for me, it's actually beyond compare, but you can configure this to be whatever it is you like to do. Whatever diff viewer of your choice.
Yeah, but why would you use something else than beyond compare?
That wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. No.
By the way, beyond compare, seriously, it's not a free tool, but it's so worth the price.
Every one of those $50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. 100% agree. And I can actually go one step further. So a lot of the times when we're debugging, our bugs have to do with state, just state that changes randomly and in incorrect ways that we don't know exactly what the change was. In Osgood, we have this ability to actually take a snapshot of a given object and then compare it to the value it had before. So here I'm doing a very similar thing. Again, I have a phone book, but now I only have one variable. I don't have phone book and loaded phone book, just one variable. And in this line of code, I'm deserializing into the same variable. So if I hit F10 one more time, basically this phone book is going to change. Okay.
Right. So the built-in debugger shows you in red what just changed, but here you're able to show what's changing from one iteration to the next. Is that what it's
Well, like? You can save a snapshot, and let's do that right now. So I'll go phone book object. I'll hit compare, and I want to take a picture essentially of this object.
It doesn't really infer it, but you can decide what you're comparing against.
Yes,
that makes
exactly.
Sense.
You can decide when to take a snapshot. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make a snapshot here. I'm going to code it phone book before deserialization. I can choose how deep into the object graph I want to go. So this is sort of like essentially opening the watch window and opening all those little pluses and copying everything down to a piece of paper. I hit OK. And now I hit F10. So now the phone book actually changed. Now that snapshot that I just made is persisted. So I can come close down Visual Studio, come back tomorrow, debug a different unit test or whatever, and I can compare it to the value I had before. So now I'm going to...
Yeah, so you can basically save your baseline and reuse it months afterwards.
Absolutely.
If you notice something changed. And,
okay. Absolutely. Yeah. And I can now click here, say, okay, compare it to the phone book we just saved. Click compare. I see the same result, but essentially I'm comparing an object with the value it had before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Another sort of different way you can export state, and this is a feature that's really good for unit testing, and I really believe in unit testing. And some people think that that's a contradiction in my personality, isn't that? In one way, I'm a huge debuggers guy, but on the other hand, I'm also a very big test-driven guy. And people tell me, well, no, if you're doing test-driven, then you're never supposed to use the debugger ever.
Yeah.
Because why would you need a debugger?
And you never debug your unit tests?
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that doesn't compute in my head, because in my opinion, like, you should be doing test-driven development so that the time that you spend in the debugger is quality time, because whenever you have a very complicated bug, you sort of just write a unit test around that bug, and that would be essentially the same as, you know, locking that bug in a room that has no doors and no windows. That bug has nowhere to go. So in Osgood, we have this nice little feature that basically allows you to export information from your debugging session into a unit test.
Ooh,
does that make sense?
That's clever, yeah.
So let's say I've been debugging for an hour now. I tried to put a breakpoint here, I tried to put a breakpoint there, but eventually I found that this one customer, Lois specifically, is the one that's causing us problems,
yeah,
right?
So this is an interesting bug. I want to have a test that exercises that.
Exactly, yeah. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go here, I'm going to hover over the magic wand, and the magic wand is sort of like Ozko telling you there's all sorts of useful things you could be doing with this specific bit of information, and I'm going to click on export. Now what this does is it basically, Ozko can write out for me a textual representation of this object, and you can do it as C#, XML, or JSON using JSON.NET, everybody's favorite JSON serializer.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can simply copy that C# code into my clipboard and paste it into a unit test, edit out what I want to edit out, and I have a brand new unit test that captures the information from my debugging session. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. There's all sorts of different exports you can do. You can export collections to Excel, which is very useful if you want to do Excel-y types thing with your data. I just click this one button, it exports to Excel. Every field and property in my object become a column in Excel, which is very cool. And I can make a graph or whatever. So there's all sorts of ways you can export data out of the debugger and do stuff with it.
Mm.
So I think I gave you just a tiny taste of what Ozcode is. There's tons of features, but what I really wanted to talk to you about is the latest and greatest, which is the new link debugging functionality. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is there anything that helps with debugging asynchronous or multi-threaded code?
Yes, there is. So there's the concept of trace points. Let's go and look at that. So do you know what a trace point is?
I think I do, but...
So Visual Studio has had trace points for a long time, but Ozcode sort of gives you this experience of a trace point on steroids. And for me, that's the thing that helps the most when I'm debugging multi-threaded code, because the problem I find with debugging multi-threaded code and task async await and all that stuff is that, you know, if I try to debug it the same way that I usually debug, by just hitting F10, 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 it just won't work, right?
Because you're hiding the problems.
Yeah.
By stopping the...
Yeah. First of all, I risk, you know, the act of debugging might risk sort of changing the state of the program, because suddenly I have a timeout that wouldn't have happened if I weren't on that breakpoint. And otherwise, if I just try to step, what will happen in pretty much 100% of the cases is that suddenly I'll have a breakpoint on a different thread, and then I'll step, and now I'll have an exception on yet another thread.
Mm.
And it just quickly becomes a problem of trying to juggle too many balls in my head at once.
Mm. Not to mention that you're very likely to hide any race condition you have.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So Visual Studio has had this wonderful feature called trace points for many, many, many years, but nobody seems to know about it. It's hiding down here under settings. You can add an action to say log a message to the output window. But basically the difference between a trace point and a breakpoint is that when we have a trace point, instead of breaking into the debugger, we're just writing some log.
Mm.
Now, Ozcode has this experience of, you could call it trace points on steroids.
Actually, I think, I don't remember who showed that. That might be Hanselman this morning at the keynote.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was in his session. But he used that on Azure.
Yeah.
On a production system.
Yes.
That's really, really useful.
That is totally very, very useful. So
And then you can break into the code, but on a completely different machine and still in the exact same condition that you were on the
absolutely.
On the production machine. And this is so, so useful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So basically what Ozcode does is it just gives you a nicer experience here for creating your trace points and then looking at them. So I can go to the magic wand. So here I have an example where I'm working for Amazon.com, and one day the boss walks into my room and tells me the expected delivery date on some of these orders is coming in as the year 2020 instead of the year 2017. And I want to figure out why. So what I can do here is I can go to my magic wand and say create trace point with value. When I do that, it just creates a trace point for me. Ozcode adds this nice little preview of what my logging message can do. Inside these curly braces here, I can put pretty much any C# expression that I want.
Mm.
I can type stuff in, like say day of week, and it will give me instant preview. Another very nice thing I could do, because I don't know what bits of information might be relevant to this bug, I can just go ahead and use this button to add whatever seems like it might be relevant. So I'll add the ID, the item, the quantity, whatever, and this preview updates. I'll click OK, and now I'm going to run the program. And what will happen is that I get all these messages coming in down here at the bottom. I click that, and this opens up the TracePoint viewer. Mm-hmm. And the TracePoint viewer is essentially a fully featured log viewer that we've baked into Visual Studio.
So it's as if you had written a log statement in the code.
Exactly.
Except that you're not polluting your code. You're actually doing it when you need it, and it's gone when you don't.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's sort of logging is a very problematic solution to these problems, because you don't know what information you're going to need when the problem occurs, right? So if we try to just
So you need to stop, you need to add the log, restart the program, and so on.
Exactly.
Yeah, so this is way, way better.
Yeah, that's the power of trace points. I can just add them dynamically. And this is the part that's great for multi-threaded debugging, is that I have a thread ID column here. Mm. And I can simply filter by thread ID, and I can look at what each thread was doing at a time.
Yeah.
And over here, I have the call stack, so I can look and see and click inside the call stack to see where the message came from. Now, the only thing I know about this debug is that it has something to do with your 2020. So I type in 2020 here. And I can instantly see that all these orders are the ones going to Paris. So I was able to add logging to my program while I'm debugging it, and then find a pattern that I didn't know was there using the fully featured log viewer inside of OzCode. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Cool. Awesome. So now, for dessert, I'd like to show you the new link debugging stuff. That this is probably the feature that we're most excited about ever. Okay. And let me actually close this down. I'll go do it in the other window. So the reasoning behind the link debugging experience in OzCode is that we wanted to change the current state of affairs, which I feel is very sad, in that when I'm using link, I'm in C Sharp, I'm in a sense sacrificing the debuggability of my code for the readability, right? Mm-hmm. I love link, but link doesn't love me back, right? I write code that's a lot nicer to look at, it's a lot more maintainable, it's a lot more functional, more succinct. But if I have a bug somewhere inside of this huge link query, I have no idea how to solve it, right?
And actually, that's an issue that you have with any fluent type of API, where
yes,
Visual Studio considers this block as one instruction, whereas it's clearly
yes,
six.
So there's so much stuff going on in here,
yeah,
so much logic, but when I hit F10, it either finished successfully or
yeah,
it threw an exception, but
yeah,
I have no idea what's going on inside.
Yeah, F10 should actually step through each of those, ideally, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you can do F11, and I will step you into the
Yeah, but
lambda
then you
expression.
Need to step in and out, and
yes,
in and out, and in and out.
And you can see the flow. You can see the logic. And this is, in my opinion, sort of the barrier of entry for many developers into functional programming in C#, isn't that? Like, the fear factor is there. You don't know how
yeah,
you're going to get yourself out of trouble if you make a bug inside of your link query.
Hmm.
So our motivation behind version 3.0 of OzCode, which is the version we released same day that Visual Studio 2017 came out, is we want to make it the opposite, so that the more you use a link and the nicer functional declarative style of programming, it will actually be easier to debug instead of harder. Okay? And let me show you an example. So here I have this beautiful poem that I wrote, and I'll sing it for you. This will be the first musical performance on on.net, and I'm very proud of that. It goes, 99 little bugs in the code, 99 bugs in the code, take one down, patch it around, 127 bugs in the code, repeat until no more bugs. Thank you. Thank you for your kind applause, Bertrand. And and here I have this link query that's supposed to figure out what is the word that appears most frequently inside of my beautiful poem. And OzCode is already telling me that, okay, there's going to be an assertion failure if I'm going to hit F10 one more time. It's going to blow up in my face, because we were expecting this link algorithm to return the word bugs, but it's actually returning the word code. And if I look, I see that the word bugs appears 1, 2, 3, 4 times, but the word code appears only 1, 2, 3 times. So this should have been the word bugs here. So I'm going to go ahead and try to debug this. And the first thing you'll notice is that I have these numeric annotations here, and these tell me how many times, how many items came out of each part of the link query. And these are actually part of the live coding experience that I showed you before. So again, if for some crazy reason somebody put something in the link query that has side effects, like it changes some static variable, those side effects won't actually happen. And when I change my code, these numbers will update, and we'll see that in just a moment. But the first thing I'll do is I'll just click one of these guys, and now I go inside link debugging mode.
Yay!
That's what I think. And what I see inside of link debugging mode is essentially this visualization for each item, how it passed on through the link pipeline. So we begin with 99, which is the first word in our poem, and I see that 99 came from split. Then the where clause returned true, that's why it's green. Then we group by the word itself, and we order by how many times it appeared inside of the link query. And 99 appears 1, 2, that's why this lambda expression returned number 2. And now I can go to any item here in the link query and see what happened to it. So for example, if I go to this string empty, I see that the where clause returned false, and that's
it
why...
It stops here.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't continue on through to the rest of the query. Or I can go to the where clause and decide if I want to see the 79 items that came into the where clause or the 29 items that came out. And when I look at these guys, then these annotations here on the right tell me whether the where predicate returned true or false for each one of these guys. So far, so good?
Yep.
So now I'm going to go ahead and open the link analysis tool window. And what I'm seeing sort of the before and after of each part of the link query. So I'm going to go ahead and move to the group by. And again, on the left-hand side, I'm seeing everything that came into the group by. Mm-hmm. And on the right-hand side, I'm seeing everything that came out. So if I click on one of these guys, it will show me where it went. Now, I have a search down here at the bottom, the same way I have it in all of Auscode's windows. And we know that this bug has something to do with the word bugs. So I'm going to type in bugs down here, and now we can see the problem. So I see that I have these three instances of the word bugs going inside of this group, but I have another instance of the word bugs going into an entirely different group. So I actually have two problems here. First, I need to take care of the casing issue, because I don't care if it's a lowercase or uppercase word. And the second thing is I have to remove this closing parenthesis at the end. So let's do that together. You see that right now we have actually 79 items coming out of split, but as soon as I add those missing separators, now we have 81 items coming out of split. And you'll notice that right now I have 19 items coming out of the group by, because those lowercase and uppercase instances are going into different groups. But I'm going to go ahead and say select I goes to I to lower, so I fix that. And now I see that I only have 18 items in here. So let's just visually verify that we indeed fixed this bug. I'm going to reopen the link analysis window. I'm going to slide on down to that uppercase word bugs that was causing us problems. Now I'm going to go from where to select. And you see how these animations sort of visualize the flow of the link query. Yeah, so I'm seeing that uppercase bugs became lowercase bugs. I go to group by. I see that now, okay, great. We have four instances of the word bugs going here, like we expected. Going to order by, I see the before and after. So this is not sorted, this is sorted, and the four is at the bottom at where it should be. So last return the last item, and now I just hit F10, and whoa, we fixed the bug.
Excellent. That is really cool.
Thank you.
And very useful.
Thank you very much. So this is sort of our new hope for the future, that this will make people appreciate link debugging more, like remove the fear factor. I can use link. It doesn't matter whether I'm using and the new version of Auscode that's coming out next month. You can actually use link to SQL, link to entity framework, not just link to objects, which is what we currently support. And I want to ask you a very personal, sensitive question now.
Okay.
Do you prefer the query
tabs
style?
Or spaces?
No, it's more personal than that. I'm going to show you some code, and I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do you prefer the fluent style of link, like we see up here, or the query comprehension style of link, the SQL-like style that we see down here at the bottom?
I actually find the first one, the C# dot version, I like this one much better.
So that's what people usually tell me.
Yeah. And because I find it more idiomatic.
Yeah, I totally see that. But now I'm going to challenge your thinking by showing you an example where actually the fluent syntax totally sucks and the query syntax is a lot better.
Yeah.
Okay?
I can see that could happen.
So let's see an example. So here, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to find the best students in the university. So I'm going over each department in the university, and I'm calculating the average grade within that department. And then I'm saying, for each student in that department, give me just the ones where their grade is above average within their department. Mm-hmm. And then give me their names. I want a list of the best students in the university. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, so the really nice things here is that I'm using multiple from statements, which is very cool. And I'm using the let keyword, which is actually one of my favorite keywords in the C# language. It's very functional. It's very mathematic like that. So I could do theoretically the same thing with the query syntax, because having two froms is just select
many. I agree that let doesn't usually queries that have a let don't translate very well to
what the compiler does is it translates let into a select with an anonymous type. But you'll have to agree with me that this is kind of and this down here is like very cool. It's very beautiful. It's taking a relatively complicated idea and putting it into relatively very few lines of code. Mm-hmm. Now, the good news is that it doesn't matter which one you choose. You can use the new link debugging stuff either way. Again, I can customize how the expressions look like. So initially, if nobody went to the trouble of implementing toString on department, I don't care. Mm. I just go here.
Yeah.
I select, let's say, the ID and the name of the department. And also, nobody bothered to implement toString on the student. So I'll choose, let's say, the grade and name. Okay, and now we can actually debug this thing. So I can see, okay, in mathematics department, the average grade was 44.8, and Barbara was not such a good student this year. She only got a 38, so the where clause returned false, and she wasn't in the list of good students. Mm. Okay, but I can go to the where clause now and look at some good students, like Brett here. In physics, the average age was 45. He got a 59, so he is returned in the list. Now, the last thing I want to show you here is that I can, again, look at the link analysis window, so I can see, again, the before and after of each operator. But I can actually choose different subsets. So, for example, here, if I'm looking at the select, which just selects the name of the good students, what I'd really want to know right now is which one of these names came from which department. So for that, I have this pin right here. So I can say I can pin here, and then it will show me a subset of the link query. Mm. So I'm going to do pin all the way to the beginning. So I'm seeing from the departments that came in here at the top of the query to the names that were selected down here at the very bottom of the query of the link pipeline. And now I've pinned this, so I'm seeing all of the query at once, and I can see which students came from which department. That make sense?
That's very nice.
Cool. And so that's sort of our hope for the future. In the future, I hope that we'll also be able to put this sort of tooling into the hands of every functional developer, whether they're using F# or whatever other tool. So step by step, we will take over the world.
So F# is one of the things you're looking for. You're looking at for future versions, you already have something that works with F#?
No, I can't say that we have any concrete plans for that. It's more in the fantasy realm. Okay. But I could see how this tool would be really useful for things like pipelines and F#.
Yes, yes.
And as I'm learning F# myself right now, it sort of teases that idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
That was really cool.
Thank you very much.
All right, so I think that many people watching this are thinking right now, okay, take my money. So how much do you charge for this?
So OzCode is a subscription model. Mm-hmm. There's a yearly subscription and a monthly subscription. There's a corporate and a personal license. So it depends on whether you're buying it for yourself or the company buys it for everyone, which is preferable because then it's somebody else's money. And then it's $175 per developer, but the more licenses you buy, you get a bigger and bigger discount. And it's a 30-day free trial, so anybody can go and download and play with it and see what they like.
Yeah,
and
but
give
there
us
is,
their
there
feedback.
Is a big risk of getting addicted, and
yeah, people do tell us sometimes that like we're opium sellers because
yeah.
once they get used to this tooling, they just can't use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the first dose is free.
yeah, it is.
That's nice. That's nasty. Okay. Do you have anything friendly for open source developers?
Yes. So first of all, there's an open source license. If
mm-hmm.
you're an open source developer, you can have Ozcode for totally free for
That's
all your open
nice.
Source development. We've been doing that for many, many years since we started. Basically, before we were using Roslyn, we were using the Sharp develop stuff.
Mm.
There was like the
and JetBrains has been doing that for a long time as well.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, interesting. And so in version 2.0 of Ozcode, we just that was the critical point where we said, okay, we have to rewrite this entire thing now in Roslyn because we want to make sure that we're totally performant. And so ever since version 2.0 of Ozcode, whenever you need Ozcode needs some information about the semantics or the syntax of your code, it just needs that. It just asks Roslyn for that information. And, and because Roslyn, everything is totally immutable, then it Roslyn just hands that object over. So the memory footprint is very, very low.
Mm.
So we've always been into open source. We also release open source projects for other Visual Studio extenders. I'm actually doing a video with Justin Clairbutt, the PM for extensibility, on some of the open source projects that the Ozcode team has brought out for other Visual Studio extensions, and we definitely love and are a part of the .NET open source community.
Good. Well, excellent. I hope you get some more subscriptions from this.
Thank you very much.
It's well deserved. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. It's been another episode of On.NET. And bye everyone.
Bye bye.
And now I'm going to run really fast and stop the recording.